The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com. Metaxas Show with your host, Eric Metaxas.
Hey there, folks. I don't even remember where I was. My guest maybe will tell me, but I was at an event recently and I met Dr. William Lyle, and he spoke a little bit. I think I was the main speaker, but I heard him talk, and then we spoke at our table, and I said, I've got to have you on my program. People need to know you and what you're doing. He's the head of ProLifeDoc.org. ProLifeDoc.org. He's an obstetrician sharing the truth about abortion, and he's my guest, Dr. William Lyle. Welcome to the program.
Thank you very much, Eric. It's great to be here.
When we spoke, I don't remember half of what we spoke about exactly, but I wanted you to tell my audience who you are, what you do, because we need to hear it. So first of all, tell us who you are. I can read the list of your accomplishments and things, but you're obviously the founder of ProLifeDoc.org, and that's what, 1999?
Correct.
Okay. But tell us who you are, where you grew up, and how you came to be somebody so passionate about the children that are still in their mother's wombs.
Sure. Well, first, we got together for the first time over at the gathering, Dr. James Dobson's event at Colorado Springs.
I've been traveling so much that I literally couldn't remember. I said, was it Wichita or Colorado Springs? Colorado Springs. Thank you.
Correct. So I practice obstetrics and gynecology. I've been in practice privately since 1999, delivered over 4,000 babies. And the practice that we actually took over in 1999 at that time was the largest provider of abortions here in the Florida Panhandle. We took over the practice, and then we stopped all abortions, and we stopped all referrals for abortions.
Wait a minute. This is amazing. I don't remember you talking about this. You took over a practice, an obstetrics OBGYN practice, and when you took it over, you're telling me it was an abortion provider.
It was the largest provider of abortions and had been for decades in the Florida Panhandle. So when we negotiated the contract with the physician that owned the practice, one of the stipulations was we had him sign a restrictive covenant, a non-compete, where he couldn't practice any type of medicine for the next 24 months. So it really forced him into retirement, and he moved back to Sweden. And we pretty much thought, well, that's the end of our job. That was the end of our duty. And it wasn't until a Sunday after church that I went back to that practice. I hadn't really toured the practice, but I had a key. So I toured the practice. We'd seen the downstairs exam rooms, ultrasound, waiting room, offices. But I had never been upstairs where all of the abortions had been performed. And I know you do a lot of travel, and there's certain places in the world where you travel and you can just feel the coldness. You can feel that something bad, something evil has happened here. And when I walked up the stairs to the second floor, I couldn't help but think about how many thousands of women with a baby on the inside had walked up these very stairs, spent a half hour upstairs in the surgical suite, and then walked back down the stairs without that baby on the inside. And when I walked around the corner up on the second floor at the surgical suite, you could see the abortion machine. You could see all the instruments. You could see the exam table and the stirrups. And I'm like, how has this been going on for decades when you've got Pensacola Christian College on the same road? You've got big Catholic churches, Baptist churches. How is this happening in conservative Pensacola? So that's when I really felt the calling that this information on how this has been going on in our town needs to become public. People need to be aware of it. Because I just finished 4 years of residency, where we have spent 4 years in college, 4 years in medical school, 4 years in residency with two goals. We want to have healthy moms and healthy babies. And I saw how we treated the babies in the womb, the pre-born, as patients. And it really comes down to patients' rights. And that's what we're here to show, that we're created in the image of God at that moment of conception. This is a battle to defend patients' rights, because we do treat the preborn as patients.
Yes, because they're human beings. And we have to remind ourselves over and over that just because some people say that they are something other than human beings, people in history have said that Jews were not
correct
human beings, that blacks were not human beings, or that they were lesser than some other human beings. And to be consistent, we have to say, sorry, a human being is a human being is a human being is a human being, and that's the end of that. So when you went in there, did you know that this place was the largest provider of abortions in the area?
Yeah, in the Florida panhandle.
And so in the whole panhandle, area. This place that you took over was the number one provider of abortions. And you were aware of this when you took it over.
Oh, sure. That was part of the reason why we targeted and chose this practice. I mean, there were business aspects, of course. And the short-term goal was to go in, have a productive practice that's in a great location. And, of course, we would shut down all abortions on day one. But then God always has a plan. And God's plan went way beyond our simple little short-term plan. And that's when the ministry of Pro-Life Doc really developed, where not only do we defend God's preborn, but we also share the forgiveness that occurs with the gift of salvation. I mean, everybody wants healing, but true healing only comes through true forgiveness, and true forgiveness is all available through the blood of Christ. So it's really a medical ministry, but it's also a spiritual ministry, because this isn't just, you know, coffee, tea, Pepsi, Coke. I mean, we're engaged in a spiritual battle, and if we don't engage a spiritual battle with spiritual tools, we're going to lose every time.
Well, it's just so wonderful that you exist, which is why when we met, I said, you've got to come on my program. I want people to know about you, what you do, and about prolifedoc.org. So you talk about patients' rights. You talk about operating on the unborn. This is an amazing thing. I mean, you know, most of us are not doctors. I wear scrubs now and again, but that's – no, actually, I don't. But really, you know, most people don't know that not only is it a human being, but doctors treat these human beings inside the womb. And then it's legal in many states to kill them. It's
correct.
Chilling stuff.
Yeah, it comes down to patients' rights. Even – you know, we know that Genesis 1:26 says, and God said, let us make man in our image, and male and female created he them. So we're created in the image of God. So what is an abortion? I mean, think about the American flag. If somebody hates the United States, they burn the American flag. Why do they burn the American flag? Because the American flag represents the image of the United States. Well, if you hate God, why do you perform and support abortions? Well, if you hate God, you're going to want to destroy the image that reflects God. So abortion is really an attack against that image of God. And we are unique, created in the image of God at that moment of conception. Different chromosomes, different from the mom, different from the dad. Babies can have different blood types from the mom. The baby's blood and the mom's blood don't mix.
I mean, that's why whenever somebody says it's the mother's body, you have to be really clear and say, not even close. It's not on any level is it the mother's body. It is another human being with its own blood type, with its own DNA. I mean, it could look totally different than the mother. We know this. It's just another human being. We've seen how some kids are just dramatically different than their parents. And it is another human being from the moment of conception. That's simply medically true.
Correct.
But we're living in a culture that says otherwise.
Correct. I mean, and how we treat them as patients. I mean, 7 weeks after conception, we can do a blood test on the mom called a cell-free DNA test. And we can take the little fragments of DNA that are in the mom's blood circulating around, and we can do genetic tests. We can tell you the gender of the baby 7 weeks after conception.
Are you kidding? I've never heard this. Okay, we're going to go to a break. Folks, I have the joy of speaking to Dr. William Lyle, L-I-L-E, with ProLifeDoc.org. We'll be right back.
Hey, folks, I've got to tell you a secret about Relief Factor that the father-son owners, Pete and Seth Talbot, have never made a big deal about, but I think it is a big deal. I really do. They sell the three-week quick start pack for just $19.95 to anyone struggling from pain like neck, shoulder, back, hip, or knee pain, $19.95, about a dollar a day. But what they haven't broadcasted much is that every time they sell a three-week quick start, they lose money. In fact, they don't even break even until about 4 to 5 months after if you keep ordering it. Friends, that's huge. People don't keep ordering Relief Factor month after month if it doesn't work. So yes, Pete and Seth are literally on a mission to help as many people as possible deal with their pain. They really do put their money where their mouths are. So if you're in pain from exercise or even just getting older, order the three-week quick start for $19.95. Let's see if we can get you out of pain too. Go to relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com, or call 800-500-8384, 800-500-8384, relieffactor.com. I use it. It works.
Folks, I'm talking to Dr. William Lilly. I just said Lilly. Lyle. L-I-L-E. It's a long I. Lyle. Dr. William Lyle, he is with ProLifeDoc.org. Dr. Lyle, your organization and meeting you, I mean, it really affected me because I just thought you're in this world, you're in these trenches. So you take over this practice, you decide to end abortions in that area. I mean, has anyone ever thought of that before, to go into an area and take over a place that does something like this? I've never heard of this. Sure. As it seems like a brilliant strategy.
Yeah, I mean, money has power, money talks. I mean, there have been abortion clinics which have actually been purchased by pregnancy resource centers. There, you know, it's an active movement where you can just go in and take control. And, you know, that's what we do as far as education, as far as how we treat the preborn as patients. I mean, a lot of people don't realize, you know, that the mom, even though she's an amazing life support system, baby's not part of her body. It's not her body. One of the things that we do, which is absolutely amazing, is we can actually do blood transfusions directly to the baby. And we've done this at our hospital as early as 18 weeks gestation. It's like, well, why would you need to give a baby a blood transfusion? Because the mom sees the baby as a different person, and mom will actually send antibodies across the placenta, attack the baby's blood because it's a different blood type, and the baby's blood count will start to drop. And it can drop to the point where the baby will die on the inside unless we give the baby a blood transfusion. It's like, well, where do you get special baby blood? It's not special baby blood. It's just blood that you donated.
Special baby blood.
Yeah. It's just you donated at the Red Cross or One Blood, and we can take an ultrasound, guide a needle through the skin of the mom's belly, through the wall of the uterus, directly to the umbilical cord, and just give the baby a life-saving blood transfusion.
At 18 weeks, you said?
18 weeks. I mean, we've done that here at my hospital, but it's not just blood transfusions. We are now doing heart surgery at centers around the country at 22 weeks gestation.
All right. I mean, really, this is why I wanted you on here. This is unbelievable that science has gotten to a level, medical science, where you can do heart surgery on a 22-year-old child, 22-week-old child in its mother's womb. At what point do we say a baby is viable? What week do we say a baby's viable?
All right. We just had in the news today is a new Guinness record. There was a baby that was 21 weeks and one day that was born up at University of Alabama, Birmingham, weighed 15. 15 ounces, less than a pound at birth, and the baby is now home and doing well. That was 21 weeks and one day. So at 22 weeks, there's a condition called aortic stenosis, where the aortic valve is too closed, and instead of the baby's blood coming out and going whoosh, 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 it goes out and it's going wee, wee, wee. There's just not enough blood flow. So if this was an adult, we'd either replace the valve of the adult's heart, you know, or we'd do a valvuloplasty where we stretch the valve. Well, at 22 weeks gestation, we can now guide the needle, again, through the skin of the mom, through the wall of the uterus, go right up to the baby's chest wall, float a catheter through the baby's heart. And don't forget, the baby's heart is the size of a grape at this point. It's beating 140, 150 beats a minute. We're guiding this catheter with a balloon into the left ventricle through the aortic valve and then blowing the valve up a little bit. Within 60 seconds, you see a dramatic improvement of blood flow to the baby. So if we're doing heart surgery on these babies at 22 weeks, then they are a patient. And if they are a patient is a person, no matter how small, and patients have rights. But it's not just heart surgery. It's now spina bifida. Remember that it was over 20 years ago. Remember the picture that was taken of the baby's hand coming out of the uterus?
Yes.
It was taken by a friend of mine named Michael Clancy. Well, that was 1999 when he was born, you know. And now we have enough babies who have had these types of surgeries done in the womb. And it's not just that we can do this procedure, but should we do this procedure? Is it better for the babies? We got our first real evidence in January of this year, where we have more than a decade of following babies that had the corrective surgery done in the womb, as opposed to waiting until after they were born and then doing the corrective surgery. What did we find out? We found that when we did the corrective surgery in the womb, the babies could, when they grew up, could go upstairs faster, downstairs faster. They had better control of their bladders and their bowels. We have improved the quality of life for these babies for the rest of their lives by taking the initiative to treat them as a patient, a surgical patient in the womb.
Okay. It seems to me, my brain is spinning to figure this out, but it's almost like a math problem.
Yeah.
If you can show that operating on a 22-week-old baby or whatever, any time after that, that you can improve their lives.
Yeah.
It seems to me that on some level that proves this is a human being whom no one has the right to kill.
Correct.
In other words, I don't know how else you process the logic. If you're able to operate on someone and improve their life in the long term, it seems at that point, at least, killing them cannot be a legal option. But in many states in America, it is a legal option.
Correct. I grew up in Jersey. And in New Jersey, just like in New York, you can abort a baby at any gestational age for any reason. One of the techniques that I'll teach our, you know, students and our, you know, attendees at our conferences is that when you have the opportunity to speak with an elective official, ask them this question: are you an advocate for patients' rights? Well, what elected official is going to say, no, I'm not an advocate for patients' rights? And you ask them that question, and then you say, well, then help me defend my patients that are still in the womb. I was at the University of Florida College of Medicine speaking to the medical students, and I said, if I have a patient in my office that needs a life-saving blood transfusion, but they were not born in the United States, or say I have a patient that needs heart surgery or spina bifida surgery or laser vascular surgery, but again, they were not born in the United States, do I have a legal and moral obligation to find them access to care, even though this patient of mine was not born in the United States? And universally, the kids were all like, absolutely, it doesn't matter if they were born in the United States or not.
Right.
Now you've got them right where you want them. And then you say, okay, these patients were not born in the United States. They need these corrective therapies. But the reason they haven't been born in the United States is they have not been born yet, but they are my patients in the womb. And there's really no comeback for that. You know, we are treating them as patients. We're improving their quality of lives for the rest of their lives, which is good for healthcare, it's good for the individual. It's good for society to improve the quality. Medicine can't fix everything. We can't cure anything. But our goal is always improve the quality of life for the patient and for the family of that patient.
This is it's amazing stuff. I have to say, Dr. Lyle, I knew when we met that I wanted my audience to hear you because it's so rare that we hear from a doctor who works in this world. You know this world. You know that these are children and they're not something else. I know that there's a lot going on right now with heartbeat laws. I was just in Texas and I met the state senator who wrote the heartbeat law, and very clever from a legal point of view.
Yes.
They're heroes, and it's like we've got 1,000 Wilberforces working, and you're one of them. He's one of them, because we understand that this is a scourge, this is an abomination, this is a terrible thing, and that abortion is the enemy of women. It's not their friend; it's their enemy. It hurts them. But we hear these lies over and over and over again, and it's one of the reasons I wanted you on, just so people can hear the human side of this. You're treating people who happen not yet to be born. I don't know. What do you, as the head of prolifedoc.org, what else is it that you guys do? Because obviously you're a doctor. That's the main thing you do. But what do you do with the organization?
Well, we're also very active in abortion pill reversal. Before the pandemic, about 39% of all of the abortions in the United States were performed with the abortion pill. Now we have evidence that it's over 50%. And why is there such growth? Well, number one, we've had a federal judge said that it's an undue burden for a woman to have to go to a medical practice in order to get access to the abortion pill. So it's available with a telemedicine visit shipped to your home. But the real key is, do we have antidotes, when people make a wrong decision? Sure. We look at narcotics. We had over 92,000 people die of overdoses just last year. And we have an amazing medication called Narcan, where if somebody has made a bad decision, we can safely reverse
this
that.
Yes, sir. We're going to leave this as a cliffhanger, folks. I know you're not going anyplace. We'll be right back with Dr. Lyle. Do not go away. This is vital stuff.
Desperado. Hey, folks, Eric Metaxas here. Joe Biden and the Democrats have laid out the most socialist agenda our country has ever seen. Instead of following President Trump's blueprint that had the economy booming, the Dems are going to raise taxes, increase regulations, and skyrocket an already outrageous national debt. If your retirement is in traditional investments, it is in jeopardy. Americans should be diversifying their investments with gold and precious metals. Gold gives you control over your wealth and protects you from market volatility, inflation, and a weakening dollar. When investing in gold, I turn to Legacy Precious Metals. Legacy Precious Metals has over 40 years of experience in helping Americans protect their finances, and this team is prepared to patiently consider your own personal financial needs. If you're looking to invest in gold, call the good folks at Legacy Precious Metals today at 866-473-6204 or visit them online at legacypminvestments.com. Don't leave your retirement to chance, friends. Contact Legacy Precious Metals today. That's 866-473-6204.
Hey, folks, I'm talking to Dr. Lyle. You remember I wrote a VeggieTale episode, Lyle, a Kindly Viking? I only wrote half of it. But Dr. Lyle spells his name differently. It's L-I-L-E. He is the head of prolifedoc.org, and we're having a really important conversation. You were just saying, Dr. Lyle, you were just saying that if somebody makes a bad decision, we have medical options to help them. And you're saying that there are women who, in a moment of panic, they have easy access to an abortifacient, I guess. Is that what it's called?
Sure. I mean, and first we have to define things. Words matter. Let's talk about the morning after pill, which is indicated for 72 hours after somebody has had intercourse,
right,
which is wrong, But let's talk about the abortion pill, which is indicated for up to 70 days after the first day of the last
menstrual period. See, I didn't know this. It's one of the reasons I wanted you on, because a lot of this stuff gets – so what is the first one called? The morning after pill.
Morning after pill.
Okay,
it's over the counter.
So somebody somebody has sex and they go, whoops, maybe I got pregnant. Let's take care of it. And they take a pill. But the other pill – and what is this other pill called?
It's called mifepristone, also known as RU486.
Okay.
How do you remember that number? Did you ever work in a restaurant?
Yeah.
All right. So when the chef says, hey, 86 the meatloaf, what does that mean? It means kill the meatloaf.
Kill it. Meatloaf. Are you for killing? Are you 486? Yeah. They didn't plan that, did they?
They didn't, but that's
bad planning. Are you 486? So you were pro-killing? Okay, so the RU486 pill, you said it's up to 70 days after conception.
After the first day of the last menstrual period. So that would be 10 weeks gestation. Most of the ultrasounds for our new OB patients, where we can see the baby moving, heartbeat, listen to the heartbeat, are usually between 6 and 8 weeks along. This pill has 98% chance of killing a baby up to 10 weeks gestation. So, you know, but how does it work? It works by blocking a very important hormone called progesterone. And when you have big words, you break them down. You're an author. You break down big words so you can understand them. Progesterone. It stands for progestational steroid hormone. This is the hormone that says, congratulations, we're pregnant. We got a new full-time job. We're going to send nutrition, and we're going to increase blood supply. We're going to, you know, stop contractions, and we're going to allow the uterus to grow.
The miracle of evolution, folks. Isn't it amazing how random processes it's kind of – yeah, okay, go ahead.
You know, so this hormone blocks this hormone called progesterone when somebody takes the RU46, which essentially starves the pregnancy. It withdraws all the support and, you know, it's, you know, withdraws support for the pregnancy. And then a day, 2 days later, you take another medication called Cytotec, which causes contractions, and that expels the pregnancy. Well, just like we have Narcan, which can reverse the effect safely for somebody who's overdosed on a narcotic. In fact, our cops carry Narcan. Airlines carry Narcan. Our canine cops carry Narcan because if their dog is sniffing luggage and it has fentanyl in it, the dogs can overdose on the Narcan, on the fentanyl. So we have Narcan available all over the place. It safely reverses the effect of a narcotic. If a patient shows up in our emergency room, we have a moral and legal obligation. They made a bad decision. We don't just say, hey, you made a bad decision. You're going to die. No, we give them Narcan. When we have a patient who takes the abortion pill, and I've had lots of patients who've had regrets, sometimes immediately. I've received calls from the parking lot of the abortion clinic said, I made a bad call. I did the wrong thing. Is there anything that I can do to reverse the effect? It's like, yes, you took a medication which blocks the hormone progesterone. Progesterone levels were going up. Now they're going down. What do? We just supplement the progesterone. In fact, this is not a medication that's on the shelf in the pharmacy that nobody ever uses. We use this in all routine obstetrics. We use this every day. We use this to prevent preterm labor. I just had a patient that delivered triplets. The only medication she took to prevent preterm labor was this progesterone. She took it every day. She got far enough along. Babies are doing great. We also use this when moms have recurrent miscarriages, where she got pregnant, she had a miscarriage. She got pregnant, she had a miscarriage. We supplement with progesterone. In vitro fertilization, when they're transferring these babies to the womb of the mother, mom's body wasn't expecting to have a pregnancy transferred. So it doesn't have progesterone. So until the placenta starts to produce progesterone, we give these moms the exact same medication. So if you were to ask any doctor, I have these progesterone levels on this mom. It was going up and now it's going down. How do I keep her from miscarrying? They would say, well, give her Prometrium, give her micronized progesterone. Doesn't matter if her body isn't producing enough progesterone or if she took a medication which is lowering the progesterone levels. So we supplement them with progesterone.
So how long, if somebody takes this RU486 pill, how long after taking that could reversing it still happen?
Sure. Sooner is better than later. Within the first 24 hours, very successful. We're really not successful once we get to about 72 hours after they take the medication. And we're really not successful if they've taken the second round of medications which cause the contractions. The medication that causes the contractions is called Cytotec. If I'm inducing a term mom who has an 8-pound baby, I give her 25 micrograms of this medication called Cytotec to get her to contract. How much medication is given to abort the baby on the inside? Not 25 micrograms, 800 micrograms.
We're going to hold it there. Forgive me. This is heavy stuff. Folks, I'm talking to Dr. Lyle, L-I-L-E, prolifedoc.org. We'll be right back. Hey, folks, all you out there know that MyPillow doesn't have box stores or any shopping channels. They've been part of this canceled culture, and they want to pass the savings on directly to you so you can get the lowest price in the history of MyPillow for the classic standard MyPillow, regularly $69.98, now only $19.98 with promo code ERIC. They also have queen size, regularly $79.98, now $24.98 with promo code ERIC, or king size, regularly $89.98, only $29.98 with promo code ERIC. MyPillow is not just pillows. They've got over 150 products, everything from sleepwear to slippers and dog beds, you name it. My promo code ERIC also works on mystore.com. You can get my books and frankspeech.com. Go to mypillow.com or call 1-800-978-3057. Use promo code ERIC to take advantage of Mike's special offer on his standard MyPillow. That's mypillow.com, promo code ERIC, or 1-800-978-3057. Hey there, folks. I'm talking to Dr. William Lyle. He's the head of prolifedoc.org. You were just sharing the details of, it's fascinating to learn about this, for me to learn about this. So this idea that progesterone does two things. You said it's helping feed the baby and it's helping prevent contractions so that the baby doesn't leave the mother's womb too early. So you said that if somebody takes this abortion pill, RU486, after that, at some point, they take another pill to induce contractions so that the baby, which has ostensibly been killed, can now be expelled. Is the baby always dead by the point of taking the second pill?
No, because we know that if people just take that medication, the Cytotec, it will cause contractions and they can abort without the baby actually being dead. And the baby's very tiny, but the baby is still created in the image of God and had a heartbeat. When they take that second medication, and it causes the contractions, we really cannot reverse that effect. So everything that's good about the pregnancy as far as supporting it is because of progesterone. When a medication is taken that lowers the level of progesterone, that's when all the bad stuff happens. But the other reason that this is not healthcare is that the number one pregnancy-related killer of pregnant women in the first trimester of pregnancy is still a ruptured ectopic or tubal pregnancy. How do you know when a woman is pregnant if the pregnancy is in the uterus or if it's maybe in the tube? The only way is with an ultrasound. When a federal judge says, you know what, going to the abortion clinic is an undue burden, women are being denied an ultrasound. They don't know where the pregnancy is. 1 in 100 pregnancies are going to be an ectopic, a tubal pregnancy. So if a woman takes the abortion pill, she gets it mail order, and she never had an ultrasound, she is told she's going to have bleeding, cramping, and pain, and that's going to be aborting the baby. As opposed to if it happens to be that 1 in 100 where it's an ectopic or tubal pregnancy, those symptoms are so different. They are bleeding, cramping, and pain. How is a woman supposed to know the difference between the bleeding, cramping, and pain of a tubal pregnancy or the bleeding, cramping, and pain of the abortion pill? She can't. So this is not about healthcare. This is about killing the baby in the womb, the baby that we treat as patients, and a patient is a person no matter how small.
It's also about killing the mother, 1 in 100 I mean, that's pretty dramatic that they're willing to say, well, yeah, we're going to lose some mothers, but this is such a political hot potato. So what if we lose some mothers? We'll sweep it under the rug because we have to have this. Evidently, that's what they're thinking. That's their logic.
Yeah, the mothers can definitely be harmed with this procedure of doing this. Before the abortion pill is available, whenever somebody presented with a positive pregnancy test, that was your first goal. Where is the pregnancy? We want a healthy mom and we want a healthy baby. It's amazing that we will have more emphasis on defending wildlife than we do the baby on the end. I mean, even here at Pensacola Beach, spring, we have the turtles that come and they lay their eggs. And every time a turtle nest is laid, they put three fences around this turtle nest. And then they put up these big yellow signs and they say, do not disturb sea turtles. And you can, if you just disturb these preborn sea turtles, you can face a $100,000 fine or spend 1 year in jail. Yet you can drive 3 miles over the bridge to Pensacola, and now we have an abortion clinic which will abort a baby up to 24 weeks gestation. So how is it that we're protecting the preborn turtles over on the beach, but we're not protecting the preborn babies that we treat as patients? The irony is, where does all this protection for these turtle eggs, come from? It's actually state law, and it's the U.S. Endangered Species Act, federal law. The irony, though, is when was the U.S. Endangered Species Act passed? 1973. So on one side of D.C., you've got Congress passing the U.S. Endangered Species Act saying, we're going to protect sea turtles that haven't been born yet. Yet over on the other side of D.C. at the U.S. Supreme Court, we're not giving that same level of protection to the preborn babies. And why do I use preborn? I use preborn rather than unborn because words matter. You're an author. Words matter. Use the term preborn. Why? Because before you send your child to school, where do you send them before they go to school? You send them to preschool. Why? Because the normal expectation from preschool is that they go to school. Before you watch the ball game, you watch the pregame show because the normal expectation is next comes the game. We don't send our kids to unschool. We don't watch the ungame show. The normal expectation is you watch, go to preschool, then you go to school. Normal expectation is preborn, and then the normal process is to be born. So words matter. We use the term preborn. Unborn just means at that moment in time they're not born, but it doesn't give any indication of what the normal expectation is for this baby in the womb.
We were all preborn, every single one of us. And to act as though that's not true. It's funny because really what we're asking people to do oftentimes is simply to be logical, simply to follow the actual science. And they have reasons they don't want to. And it's fascinating how people choose when they want to be logical and rational and when they want to follow what science says. And when they say, I don't want to do that. So this is exactly that kind of an issue. I've talked many times about how the more – in my new book, I talk about how science points more and more to God. There's just no question about it. But it's also true with medical science in this specifically that it is helping us more and more to see the humanity – of the preborn child. I mean, when you talk about some of this stuff, it's one of the reasons I wanted you on here, is that it just makes it so clear to, there's all kinds of people listening to this program. They're not sure what they think. And I just want to say, hey, folks, make your own decision. Listen to what we're talking about. And you tell me, does it seem like a nothing or does it seem like, I was once that kind of a nothing. Every single one of my genes, the DNA, it's all set, the color of my eyes, everything. And we act like, well, not really. Science says, yes, really, really, really. And we're getting from folks like you more and more information. Folks, so we'll be right back talking to Dr. Lyle, William Lyle. He's with ProLifeDoc.org. Don't go away.
Thank you.
folks. I'm talking to Dr. William Lyle, the kindly Viking. I mean, Dr. William Lyle. He is the head of this organization I discovered only recently. It is called ProLifeDoc.org. If people go to that website, what do they find, and how can people who are listening help you do what you're doing?
Opportunities to share this truth is what I really need. You can go to the website. We've uploaded over 100 videos onto YouTube describing the politics, describing the spiritual battle, but also describing how we treat the preborn as patients in the womb. You can go to YouTube and just look under D-R-L-I-L-E, and you'll have over 100 four-minute videos that you can watch. But also, there's lots of other resources on the website, you know, as far as healing and really the medical facts, because we want to give people the tools to defend the preborn. I don't want them to come to the website and then just leave saying, I was a level 8, now I'm a level 9. No, I want to give you a tool to put in your tool chest that you can use to defend God's preborn, because I really think that the future of our nation depends on how we deal with this spiritual battle. We read through scripture. I mean, the children of Israel were God's chosen people. And you read through Judges 3, 4, 5, and 6, that even though they were God's chosen, the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. And he got to the point where he just not only strengthened their enemies, he delivered them into the hand of their enemies. The killing of 62 million babies in our, you know, country is definitely in that category of doing evil in the sight of the Lord. We have the tools, we have the science that we can actually swing that pendulum back the other way. We've had students who have presented themselves after a talk like this, and they'll identify as an atheist, even though we know that atheism is dead. They'll present as an atheist, and they'll say, you know, I don't believe in God, but, you know, I'm in medical school, and I'm a huge advocate for patients' rights. I just didn't realize that the patient was in the womb and that we treat them surgically and with blood transfusions. And they'll say, you can't call me that 100% pro-life guy. But after a 45-minute lecture, I am leaving with a changed heart, changed mind, and a changed perspective. And that's what we're here to do. Not just whoever yells the loudest is the winner. The perspective is to educate, to train, and to realize this is a spiritual battle. And is abortion a sin? Absolutely. But is it a sin that can't be covered by the blood of Christ? No, it absolutely
can't. See, that point, I was going to make that point just to say that there's so many people listening that have been involved in an abortion, women and men. I'm one of those men, and I wrote about it in my memoir, Fish Out of Water. I'm honest about this to say that many of us have done things that later on we say, oh my goodness, what have I done? And I want to be really clear, and my wife, who ran a women's pregnancy center here in Manhattan for 12 years, is that there is total forgiveness, folks. God
Absolutely.
Wants to bring healing and forgiveness to you if you have been through something like this. This is not about condemning anybody. This is about bringing healing, and it's important that people understand that. And that's why I am vocal about having been a part of that in my past, because many people have been, and they need to know God wants to forgive them 100% and heal them. We've just got 30 seconds left. I want to tell my audience, folks, one way that you can help, besides going to prolifedoc.org and looking at these videos and going to D-R-L-I-L-E on YouTube and sharing those videos, you can share this video, this interview. I ask all the time, if you're not subscribed to my newsletter, please go to ericmetaxas.com. Please subscribe to our newsletter. We send you these videos, and when you get them, they're on Rumble, share them via social media. Share them as widely as possible. Many people need to hear what we have just heard. Dr. William Lyle, thank you.
Thank you. Pleasure.
Three,
3-star general, Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.